Are you in Matthew 6? Dear Jesus, I'm overwhelmed with you. I'm so overwhelmed, Lord. It's hard to contain myself. I love you so much, Lord. Thank you for your love for us. There is no greater love than yours. Why do we fear his coming? Why do we fear one who loves us so much? I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about his coming to take control. I'm sorry, I hope I don't cough all night tonight. Why do we fear the coming of his kingdom in us when his love is so great? Why? We're so silly, aren't we? Help me to convey your heart tonight, Lord. Help me to convey your thoughts. Help me to release what is on your mind tonight. Release yourself to us, Lord. And help us to grow in you. In your precious name. Amen. Pray, therefore, like this. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts, as also we have forgiven. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Tonight, we're still on the part. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. I don't know how many weeks we've been trying to cover this, but we're still here this week. How do we prepare for the coming of his kingdom? How do we prepare for his will to be done in us as it is in heaven? You know, in heaven, his will is always obeyed, and it's obeyed promptly. The fact that the Lord instructs us to pray in that way helps us to know that on earth that is not the case. Not even in his church. One would wonder how he gets anything done when he has a church that really doesn't have much of an ear to hear and understand his will. That is worldwide. I always kind of chuckle when I hear people say, I always obey the Lord. And I think if you really believe that, you haven't heard him much. If he had an obedient church, we would have gone to heaven in the rapture a long time ago. But we're really a long way away from his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. The first thing we have to do is come to love his will, to desire it above all things, knowing that his will always entail the cross. You cannot get through to his will without this. It's not possible. His will is always, please say always. His will is always designed to put the cross through your flesh. People who think that obedience to the Lord means happy as a lark have spent little time and effort obeying the Lord. Obedience almost always means suffering to some degree or another. Now that makes you want to get up and run to obey him, right? Some people think, you know, when a little suffering comes, why me? Why always me? Why doesn't anything ever work out the way I want it to? Why always me? And the Lord says, love the cross. Love it. I love your cross, Lord. You died on it for me. Love your cross. If you're suffering, it may mean you're in his perfect will. Not always. Sometimes you're suffering because you've been silly, foolish, and you've done exactly the opposite of what you should have done in a given situation. But we cannot overlook this reality that obedience must be coupled with some degree of affliction. He has a cross. He wants to run through your flesh into your heart that he might dwell on the throne therein. And if that heart is never open, how can he put a throne there? It is okay to suffer. Can you say that? Can you say it? Can you say it? It is okay to suffer. Now can you go one step further and say, it is okay for me to suffer. I don't mean me, I mean you me. One more time. It is okay for me to suffer. Pick up your cross and come follow me. Oh, listen to those words. Can you feel the glory of those words? I can feel the glory, the weighty glory of those words. Do you hear the promise? If you will pick up cross, you can follow him. What a glorious promise. What a promise. All you have to do is pick up the cross. And the promise is that you can follow him. To follow him, you must be close to him. You must be able to follow his footsteps, close enough to follow his footsteps. Oh my, what an incredible reality. If you will just be weighted with the cross, you can follow close enough to see his footsteps. And therefore, the one leaving them. The goal is to follow him so close that you're clinging. The goal is to follow him so close that he is carrying your cross. Then you're sharing. I'm sorry, the glory keeps coming down on me so hard. I can't hardly think straight. But you are sharing in the fellowship of his suffering. Once in a visitation, he told me, few are willing to share in the fellowship of his suffering. Few. But those who are have a very special place in me. In the kingdom, you are blessed. When the kingdom fills you, the blessings cannot be contained. What greater blessing of all the blessings that are given is the blessing of knowing him? No greater blessing than knowing him. Now, how do you get to the place of running from the cross to running to the cross? Would you like to know? Turn, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 10. I hope I can share this with you. The glory keeps getting so strong. Verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to reverently fear the Lord, your God, that is to walk in all of his ways, to love him, to serve him with all of your mind, your heart, and with your entire being. Go all the way down to verse 20. You shall reverently fear the Lord your God, and you shall serve him. Oh, and here's this word, and cling to him. And by his name and presence you shall swear. I love verse 21. Let's look at that also. He is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and terrible things which your eyes have seen. He is your praise. He is your God. He is your praise. He is your God. He is your praise. He is your God. But unless you have the fear of God in your heart, You cannot endure suffering in an attitude that is pleasing to him. What does he require of you? That you fear the Lord. That's the first thing. The Bible says it's the beginning of knowledge. It is the beginning of wisdom. It is the beginning of all things in God. Some Christians think because they're a Christian, they automatically have the fear of God. Not so. When you have the fear of God, and when the fear of God owns you, you cannot murmur about troubles and trials. You cannot. Because you fear him. And that reverential respect and awe sustains your heart in gladness when suffering is there. You recognize that all things come from the hand of the Lord for your good. And you would never dare murmur against his dealings or against him when your heart is filled with awe. You know only praise. You may even say to him, Lord, my burden is great. Jesus said that. He invited him to take the cup from him. It was a heavy cup. But he finished the invitation by saying, not my will, but thine be done. He wasn't murmuring. He was just sharing his heart with the Father. What God is looking for today are those who fear him. Those who will obey him at any cost because they fear him. Not like you would fear an animal that was angry with you, but awe, reverential awe. You would obey him at any cost. That is, at cost that would be of any magnitude. You would obey him no matter what it meant, because you want to honor him. You want to honor him. When you fear him, you live to honor him. When you fear him, you live to bring him honor and glory at all times. In every situation. When you fear the Lord, you cannot lie. The fear of the Lord would not allow you to lie. When you fear him, you cannot willfully disobey him. When you fear him, let me tell you an experience that I had many, many years ago. It is the time when God put the fear of God in my heart. I was very young in the Lord, spent a lot of hours in prayer. I spent so many hours every day in prayer that whenever I would get up to leave the prayer closet to do anything, the Holy Spirit would just pull on me and say, please don't leave. I could feel him feeling grieved that I was leaving his presence for a moment. And I can't tell you how many times I just turn around and say, okay, Lord, I'll stay for a while longer. I was so young in the Lord at this time. I spent so many hours in prayer, so many hours in the Word. I was so hungry. Hungry for the manna, hungry for the life of the Spirit, so hungry for his presence. So hungry to know him. And as I spent time in his word, I noticed that there was a distinction between righteousness and holiness. I was born again at a time when in the body of Christ, there was not teaching on that distinction. Everywhere, all you would hear is, you are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. And I would ask people, so what does it mean about holiness? They'd say, oh, that's just righteousness. But when I would read the Bible, I don't know about you, but when I would read the Bible, there seemed to be a distinction between holiness and righteousness. And so I started praying, God, what is the distinction? Is there something I'm supposed to be about this holiness? Is there something I'm supposed to understand about your holiness that apparently none of my teachers seem to understand? They were good men, you understand. I'm not faulting them for their love for God. I'm just saying that at this particular time in the body of Christ, there was something being left out of the teachings to the church. So, to make a very long story short, I'm walking around the living room and I'm worshiping the Lord. I was very young in the Lord, very young, a couple years maybe, very young in the Lord. I was walking around worshiping Him and I was singing. You know, it was also during the time when Maranatha became very popular for their little choruses and, you know, that they were coming out with. So these small little worship choruses was the thing at that time. So I began singing this one worship chorus about Holy is the Lord. And before long, all around me, the holiness of God was seeping into my room. And I say seeping because it wasn't gushing. It was seeping almost in an undetectable manner. It was so slow, this process of Him seeping into my room. But I suddenly began to feel that to say the words, Holy is the Lord, was so holy, I couldn't utter them. I began to fear uttering, Holy is the Lord. And so I quit. I was so overwhelmed with the fear of uttering these words. So I quit. And I began to sing, worship Him from my heart. Holy is the Lord. From my heart, still walking around. And His holiness is getting greater and greater and greater and greater. Until suddenly, the Lord Himself came in, right in front of me. And I cannot tell you how I ended up on the floor. The terror of God gripped my heart. And before I could think another thought, somehow I ended up on the floor in front of Him, shaking so hard. I was like someone who was freezing and I couldn't stop the trembling. But the trembling was because He was there in His holiness. It was so overwhelming to me. The terror of God was just moving through me. I knew that I was laying before the one who held all of creation together in His belly. I could feel the power flowing from Him. And the holiness. I lived in prayer. I lived in the Word. I didn't have time to sin. Yet, in front of His holiness, it felt like I was filled with sin. It wasn't like, you know, I noticed one sin over another sin. It wasn't like that. I realized that deep inside my inner man, there was sin. It was like, you know, the nature of sin. And because of it, I was unworthy to be before him. And I was terrified. I wanted to talk to him so bad, I hurt. There he is in front of me. You know, it's the opportunity of a lifetime. But I was terrified that if he said one word to me, I would die. I wanted him to talk to me. I mean, how many things would you like Jesus to say to you when he's standing face to face with you? But I was terrified if he said even one word to me, I would die. Because of the holiness of his being and the unworthiness of me. Finally, I said to him, Jesus, not with my mouth, you understand, because I'm in terror of the Lord. I am speaking to him spirit to spirit. And I said to him, Jesus, I want to talk to you so badly, but I'm terrified. I'm afraid if I say one word to you, I will die. I want you to talk to me, but I'm afraid if you say one word to me, I will die. I knew at that moment, we survive, we live, because he's holy. If he was not holy, we would not exist. We exist because he's truth and he cannot lie. If he were not truth, and if he could lie, all of creation would fall apart. We exist because he's holy. And this holiness provokes terror in the created being. It is the same holiness that provokes terror in the angels of heaven, in the saints of heaven, and should provoke terror in the hearts of his on this earth. Finally, I said to him, he spoke many things to me, spirit to spirit, that I'm not going to go into tonight, because I said I was going to make a long story short. Now I forgot what I was going to say. He said something to me that you need to hear. Isn't that terrible? Well, I'll tell you one of the things that he said, and maybe I'll remember the other thing I was going to say. He said, the day is coming that I'm going to come to my church in this presence. But not now. And I said, why? Why not now? He said, because at this time, my church has so much sin. Many would die needlessly if I were to visit in this presence. So I am going to strengthen my church and enable them to endure this visitation. I can't remember what the other thing was I was going to say to you, but I will say that at that moment, he imparted to me the fear of God. It's not the kind of fear of God that some Christians walk in. You know, where they live generally good lives because they want to please him. But it is the fear of God that is an impartation of him, his very self, so that I tremble in his presence. My whole inner self trembles in his presence. That's why it hurts me and grieves me so badly to see someone take him lightly. Because I fear him. That's why I cannot take him lightly. But let me tell you what came out of the fear of God. A wonderful and awesome thing that I would not have expected. When I became endowed, please say endowed, endowed with the fear of God, what grew out of that immediately was a love for Him that was willing to sacrifice whatever was required to obey Him. When I'm walking through the deep valley of suffering, people that walk really close to me sometimes marvel because I stay so strong in my resolve. And so unrelenting in my sense of His righteousness in my suffering. But it's really not anything about me. It is because I have the fear of God. And when you have the fear of God, He's always right. No matter what happens, He's always right. If someone you love dearly rises up against you, you don't go back to God and complain about the one who's rising up against you. You go to Him and you say, Lord, You are always right, and I'm always wrong. So help me get Your heart in this matter. You can't blame God when it doesn't go well, or because you make silly mistakes. You can't blame God when it's too hard and the going gets too rough, or you think things come upon you that is unfair. Because He's always right and you're always wrong. Can you dare say always? And if He loves you enough to allow the difficulties, when you have the fear of God, He's right. If you don't have the fear of God, you will complain against Him. The fear of God provokes love that is willing to sacrifice anything. There have been times the devil has gotten me down pretty hard. But as I'm getting back up, I tell the Lord, I'll go through anything for You. I'll endure anything for You. Because You're always right, and I'm always wrong. Help me to gain Your perspective. He promises that if you will allow Him to give you the fear of God, that part of Himself that is the first step to being recreated into His image, He promises you that if you will allow Him to own that part of your heart that presently fears trouble, perplexity, presently fears man, fears loss, fears the loss of identity, fears the loss of comfort, fears the loss of materialism, fears the loss of anything of this world. He promises you, if you will give Him that part of your heart and allow Him to fill it with the fear of Himself, you will behold Him. And you can follow Him. And He will lead. And if that isn't enough, He promises that His kingdom will come and His will be done in you as it is in heaven. What would you give for that? What would you give? This life is about acquiring the call back to your origin. My dear brothers and sisters, this life is not about satisfying your flesh. It's not about if you look good in the eyes of man. If you look too good, you're in trouble. It's not about building kingdoms here of any kind. It is about the journey back to your Creator. It is about the journey back to your origin. How low will you go to go deep in Him? How much of the self-life are you willing to give up for the Christ life to be all in all? How much of heaven do you want in your soul now? Do you want to be owned by Him? Do you want to be possessed by Him? Do you want to please Him with your every breath? That's what it takes if you're going to be made into His image. Don't waste the time. Don't waste the precious hours. Don't gather unto yourself justifications and excuses for why you're not willing to pay the price to let Jesus have His ownership of your soul. Don't even waste the time. The time is too short. There are those of you who are sitting in this room tonight, and I can tell you the day is going to come that 6 and 7 year old children are going to have what you have forfeited because you wouldn't pay the price. It doesn't take a genius. It only takes brokenness. You don't have to be brilliant in God, brilliant in the ways of the Spirit. All you need is brokenness and the fear of God. If you will let go of the world and grasp the cross, the glory of the cross, grasp the hand of God, He will make you more than you can be. You will never be sorry for making the choice. But if you don't make the choice, I can promise you the day will come when you will stand in shame, when you see the children gathering unto themselves what you forfeited. And you'll realize your soul has been foolish all along. My dear brothers and sisters, this is the day, this is the hour to long for the fear of God, that you might walk in the presence of God. Think of it. We read the word and we behold this man Moses, whom the Bible says was the meekest man on the face of the earth. He walked with the fear of God. The fear of God controlled him, compelled him, owned him. And he stood before God and he stood before the multitudes with the glory of God flashing forth from him. Why? Because he'd had so much of the world, he knew he didn't want to live there anymore. He beheld the glory of the Holy One. And he knew there was no life worth living if he could not live in the presence of the Holy One. No one in this hour can stand in the presence of God and and say, I didn't know what you meant. Everyone is going to be accountable. What did you give for what you can have? When did you hold back and refuse to grip God by the hand? You will be confronted. Don't think you won't. The invitation is strong, and the need is great. You need to walk in that place, and anyone can. Anyone. Jesus told me that to my face. Anyone can. But you can't take the world with you. There's not room. Thy kingdom come means the world has to go. Thy will be done means your will has to go. Let the word of God enter in to your heart. Stand broken before it. Let the word of God have its ownership of your soul. Oh, Lord, your glory. It's not a complicated matter. Dying. It is not a complicated matter. He will do so much of the work for you. Your job is to fear Him, to love Him, to serve Him with all of your heart. And He will do the rest. It is the suffering of the Spirit, the affliction of the Spirit, as He prays and He intercedes for you. It is the moaning, the mourning of the Spirit entered into to own you. The Spirit creates the path for you to enter therein. And He agonizes for your soul. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing in the eyes of God to agonize for the soul of man. It is love. It is love. The Lord Jesus Christ just opened someone's spiritual ear, and He's given you the grace to hear what you've never been able to hear before. It is love divine that calls you to die. It is the flame, the devouring passion of God, by which He is willing to consume the torch that will stand for Him.
Let your soul be made his.
Give up the lower life, and you will gain the higher. Hold fast to the lower, and you will lose the higher. It is a divine exchange. And he offers it to everyone. If you're not willing to make it, you have no one to blame but yourself when it's all said and done.